hello and welcome to The Cast of Us, a podcast covering The Last of Us on HBO, brought to you by the lovely people at Fan Critical. This is a brand new podcast, but that doesn't mean that the people covering it are new to this, yeah? We've got bloody loads of experience on this podcast, hundreds of episodes, and we've covered shows like Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Westworld, and Watchmen. Just a few there, so don't worry about it. And for anyone who is new to us, first of all, welcome. Welcome. Second of all, please don't get offended by anything we say, although I do think that will be very difficult. One of my fellow podcasters, who will most likely be doing the offending at some point, is John.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself to the lovely listeners?
Yes, I am John.
Lovely.
I came up with the name of this podcast, but as soon as you said it, I didn't like it. I have to be honest. The Cast of Us.
Brilliant.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They're rubbish.
Yeah. It's locked in now, and it's brilliant.
That's done, yeah.
So I'm sure the listeners love it as well.
Yeah. So yeah, we've written it down. It's on a bit of
done.
Paper.
Yeah.
So that is a
fithial.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Beautiful. And the final member of this group is, this group of survivors, if you will, is Gareth. Hello, Gareth.
Hello.
You want to introduce yourself?
Hello, Alex. I'm Gareth.
Now, Gareth, so that people can get to know you a bit better, if it's fair to say, right, that if there was a zombie or virus-style apocalypse,
yep,
that you might be one of the first to go. Is that an accurate...
You know that's not true, and we've done this several times before. I am...
Yeah,
easily,
John's nodding.
The fastest runner.
Dead.
Easily the fastest runner on this in this triumvirate.
You get injured a lot, though.
Yeah, you've been sick like all year. I think he's already got it, to be honest.
Constantly sick.
Patient zero.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, well...
Stay away from him.
Stop hanging out with me, or you'll be patients one and two.
And, John, I've written here that in a world as grim... as the one portrayed in The Last of Us, you would just give up, is my general takeaway from...
I think in any zombie situation, it's just... you might as well just off yourself relatively quickly, I would say. Might be exciting for... particularly in the UK, it's not... it's quite difficult to get hold of a gun. So...
Yeah, very.
The only...
Yes.
I live in an apartment, so...
Cricket bat.
I could just as easily jump out of... got just the window next to my front door's got like a little roof, so no one can access it.
Right.
So I could just chill out on there and just be sniping zombies, not people. depends how bored I got, to be honest. Just start sniping civilians. I think I'd probably just throw myself off the roof after a couple of days.
Well, I wouldn't do that, mate, because you just land on the little roof, just sprain your ankle.
What a depressing start to this podcast. Well, so anyway.
You know. And you're ginger, so if the zombies don't get you, the sun will.
Yeah, the zombies would leave him alone.
Yeah, that's true.
Fussy.
So a while ago, as soon as we heard that this show was going to happen, we had a meeting at Fan Critical headquarters.
FCHQ.
I.e. my bedroom, FCHQ, and said, all right, we're definitely going to cover that. And lo and behold, the show's premiere is almost upon us. It, of course, releases on January 15th, a lovely treat after Christmas and New Year's, a month away. And we're here to give you our hopes and fears for the show, discussing the latest trailers, the casting, the director, and all that jazz. Now, obviously, boys... there's an inherent risk that I believe we need to address when covering a show like this. And that is the fact that usually video game adaptations are fucking terrible. Now,
well,
they don't have a good track record, do they? Do they? So obviously there's a couple of exceptions, like Castlevania was good. Remember, Gareth, I told you to watch Castlevania?
Yeah, I loved that.
Good video
game. I loved that, even though you kept calling... adaptation. The main character, Trevor, when his name's Trevor.
Trevor.
Trevor, yeah.
Common name.
However, if there was ever a game that I could totally see being a hit, as it were, it would be The Last of Us, just due to its narrative nature. And of course, fucking HBO behind it. It's got the big bucks behind it, boys. Mm. It's got that moolah.
Juicy cash.
The thing that we always wanted, John, for The Walking Dead was for it to be financed by somebody like HBO. Mm. God, it would have been such a different show. What a shame. What a crying shame.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd be good to start off this podcast with your relationship to The Last of Us Boys. Now,
Last of Us Boys. I haven't seen that. Yeah.
The Last of Us Boys.
Great relationship with them. All of them.
It's based on the 2013 critically acclaimed game that came out on the PS3 and has since had like two or three remasters at this point. John, I'm going to kick it off with you. Where do you stand with The Last of Us?
Okay, so I have to be honest. I started playing it and I got to a bit...
Years ago, this is.
This is years ago, yeah. When it first came out. I got to a bit that was particularly difficult. Died twice and I was like, fuck this, and just never played it again. I'm not a massive...
John versus zombies.
Classic John.
I'm not a massive fan of feeling completely helpless in a game where it's just like, oh, I mean, come on. It's kind of like why some of the Assassin's Creed games, which actually I know are nowhere near as good, but I like the fact that I can take on about 7 or 8 foes at the same time and not worry about dying. That's never happening in The Last of Us. I don't like the stealth stuff. You know I don't. You know, go hide in a bush for 17 minutes and then take the 7-second window that you've got. And if you miss that, then you have to wait another hour. So, no, you know, I'm not having it. So I stopped playing it, which I'm sure was a mistake. I will go back. I will go and complete The Last of Us before we start the series. Annoyingly,
that's right, John.
I am aware of where the story goes, so you know, I'm not going to be massively blown away by the twists and turns in the game, even for the second one, which is slightly annoying because it will kill the drama.
Yeah, Twitter
a little
fucked
bit.
Everyone for that, unfortunately.
Yeah. But then Elon Musk bought it and he said, "Look, Twitter's not allowed to fuck anyone anymore." All right. So there you go. So
stop spoiling video games.
Yeah, sorry. So my relationship, I'm sure, will grow over the coming weeks. But the game itself, I'm not massively up to speed on, basically.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about the possibility of you obviously playing through the latest remaster, which is called Part 1 and is now on PlayStation 5, which I know you love. You love those lovely graphics. And it is, I have to say, the best-looking game on PS5 at the moment. I think you'll really enjoy playing through that just before the show starts. Mm. I think your opinion will completely change, to be honest with you. Gareth, your relationship with The Last of Us, I have actual memories of your relationship with the game because you watched me play the game when we lived together.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you?
And that is it. I just watched you. Unlike John, I have actually played this game all the way through. And I mean, I'll tell you what, it's maybe a slightly unorthodox way of engaging with this game is to essentially absorb it twice because it's fucking depressing. It's a tough game to... It's a tough story to endure.
It is.
It was at an interesting kind of transitionary time in life, wasn't it, Len? Because that was actually around the time that I left jolly old England and moved down under. And all I had to remind me of the old days was The Last of Us.
So depressing, isn't it?
Thoroughly uplifting.
Christ.
It is an unbelievable game. I absolutely loved it, which is why, even having seen it and being depressed by it, I wanted to play it myself. I haven't played The Last of Us 2, though.
Yeah, that's all right.
I will, but I haven't.
Also an unbelievable game, but, you know, save that for season 2, Gareth.
Yes, good idea.
All right, so don't worry about that. We could do a little off-season playthrough, couldn't we?
You can come and sit and watch me play it.
I would. I've actually asked you to do that several times. I've said I will happily come and just watch you play the game.
No, it's getting weird, mate.
You know that.
You know I work
too much free
for a
time.
Living, right?
Can you do it just in your pants? And when I say pants, listeners, for anyone in the States, I mean boxer briefs. Just play it in your boxer briefs for me, Gareth.
Why front?
Do they call them boxer briefs? I think. Yeah, I only wear
knickers.
Knickers.
He knows what I wear.
Imagine that, Gaz in like a lace. I don't want to imagine it. Don't imagine
panties.
It.
Panties.
It's disgusting.
Pantaloons.
Panties. Yeah. Pantaloons.
Right. What are we doing?
Yeah. Sorry. I'll focus now. Look, I'll just speak. So my memory of The Last of Us is I've played through the first game probably 5 times now.
Why?
That's too many.
Because I absolutely adore it. So I've played it on every difficulty you can on the PS4 remastered version, and then I've played it through on the PS5 most recently, and I'm going to be going for the permadeath difficulty, which is crazy, but I probably won't do it. I've never been able to.
I thought you were
going to
say
success.
You're going to be going for the world record number of times playing it, which I think you're close.
Yeah.
I just think, and I've said this to you boys, many times, especially when I've spoken to John about it, because I'm like, John, you've got to play this game, bro. You have to play this
game.
Come
on, bro.
And
come on, broski.
come on, bro. And it's just one of the best stories I've ever like digested through anything, through TV, film, game, comic,
food,
book.
Yeah,
food
banned from the library. Yeah?
Yummy.
Can you stop digesting these stories? Fuck.
Sorry. just a mental image of me in a library, just fucking eating these books. Anyway,
let's get them for the record. How many books are you going to eat? Six.
Six.
He's nowhere near the record. He's still about 30, I reckon.
Yeah, but one of them's Lord of the Rings, so that counts.
Yeah,
that's double.
There you go. Yeah.
Good point. Nah, but like genuinely, Joel and Ellie's story, I just fucking adore it. And it is depressing, and it's harsh, and it's brutal. But there are moments in that story which just are so comforting. There's something about their dynamic and their relationship and how it unfolds throughout the game that it's just these little moments of comfort amongst this horror that is going on around you. And
giraffe.
Yeah, man. Like spoiler. but I am the moment this was announced. I mean, this has been in the works for years, obviously. And I couldn't be happier that it's not a film and it's a series, and I couldn't be happier that HBO are doing it, because I think I just think that's a dream combo. And we'll talk about who's in charge and that sort of thing in a minute, but you know, for any listeners who are new, I am the hype man of the team, so in a way you have to take everything I say with a pinch of salt, because I get very excited, don't I, boys? I get a little bit too excited.
Yes,
some could
world
say.
Record, yeah. Of excitement,
100%.
That's why we've got a nice balance on this podcast, because we've got me, hype man, John. He will take you down to the depths of despair like no man I've met before. And Gareth,
balance
the
you out.
Voice of, I call him the voice of reason. He will come in with, you know, a more moderated take on everything. So
lives
got
on the
full
fence.
Spectrum. He's got a little house on the fence.
I wait yeah, to see what the media is saying, and then I'll take that side.
Yeah. Right, boys, who's in charge of this show? So
I reckon you.
You're asking us, or
no? I'm telling you. I'm telling
He's
you.
Done no research.
It's Craig Mazin of Chernobyl. Yeah.
Yep.
Chernobyl, which I actually fucking loved in a depressing way as well. You boys seen it? Yeah.
Yes.
You seen Chernobyl? Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Gaz hasn't. 100%, he hasn't.
Well, I have.
Isn't Gaz one of the people who escaped Chernobyl? Look
yes, I've watched Chernobyl. It's right, fucking brilliant. It's the reason I got Binge, a streaming service here in Australia, is because it showed Chernobyl.
And if you want 20% off Binge, type in fan critical. joking, seriously.
And let us know
that
if it works.
That would be really annoying for someone. Oh, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
These fuckers.
I'm going to eat this book now.
That's seven.
Oh dear. But Chernobyl, man, like when I
Chernobyl
first saw
man.
Chernobyl man,
I was Chernobyl man.
Not one of those fake Marvel heroes you come up with.
Oh yeah, classic podcast days they were.
Yeah.
No, but like when you saw Chernobyl and it's sort of how depressing that looked, and it looked very post-apocalyptic.
Well, yeah.
When I heard they'd signed Craig Mazin to be the showrunner alongside Neil Druckmann, the writer of The Game and the lead director on Last of Us and Last of Us Part Two, I just thought, wow, I can totally see how he would translate this post-apocalyptic world.
Mm.
And I think, you know, Chernobyl was like, you know, the early start of like an infection in a way. Do you know what I mean? It's like this thing that's spreading and people, you know, it's well.
It's going to be some spoilers for you, you know, that was an actual event that happened. It's not.
What?
Yeah. I know it's part of the same universe, isn't it?
What do you reckon to the cast, guys? Pedro Pascal, a love of ours. We love him in Mandalorian. What do you think about his casting as
Game
Joel?
Of Thrones.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yep, Game of Thrones.
Oberyn.
Narcos.
R.I.P. Spoiler.
That is a spoiler, yeah.
Narcos is average. Narcos is fucking average, man. I'm not even getting into that shit now.
Okay. yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? He's brilliant. He's good in everything.
He really is.
Yeah.
Don't know if I saw him as Joel, actually.
Yeah. I think it's kind of left field
but
casting
a little
bit.
Once you see him in the trailers, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
Right.
That, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
And I think to be fair, that is what that is what a lot of good actors can do is act like other people, you know?
Whoa.
No way.
Putting it out there. I'm saying
you're fucking mental.
Just saying
bro.
It's you one of the skill set.
Why are you acting like that?
Okay, right. So we like Joel, but Bella Ramsey is Ellie.
Mm.
And for anyone who doesn't know who Bella Ramsey is, if you are a Game of Thrones fan, which you know most people who listen to our podcast are, and most people in the world have seen Game of Thrones at this point, she is little Lady Lyanna Mormont in the latter seasons of Game of Thrones. And when we saw her in that, we even said that she stole the sort of scenes, you know, every scene that she was in, she sort of stole it. Her dialogue was obviously really good, but.
No, don't eat that.
But what do you reckon about her as Ellie? Because this, to me, was the casting that I didn't necessarily vibe with straight away. Mm. You know what I mean? Originally, a few years ago, Maisie Williams was connected to Last of Us for fucking ages, and she had met with Neil Druckmann, apparently, and they had, you know, she was on board in maybe a film sort of capacity to be in The Last of Us, but it never materialized. So what do you think about Bella Ramsey instead?
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously all seen the trailer.
Mm. Yeah, but when I saw it in the trailer, I'm... The thing is the problem, and this is just, you know, you typecast someone in your head, so you're like, okay, Leanna Mormont, like this crazy, you know, strong-willed, amazing character in Game of Thrones. And Ellie's got this sort of just whole different personality. And I think when you've played the games as much as I have, you get so attached to the characters the way they are in the game. But I've got to, you know, remove myself from that. And when I saw her in the trailers, Bella Ramsey, I was completely actually on board with everything that I've seen in the trailer. I thought she was great. We can talk about the trailer right now, because I think that's basically the point of this, is to say, hey, there's actually an amazing new trailer, and I'll play it right now.
If you don't think there's hope for the world, why bother going on?
You haven't seen the world, so you don't know. You keep going for family.
I'm not family.
No. You're cargo.
Why are you so important?
Somewhere out west, they're working on a cure. I think what really impressed them was the fact that I didn't turn into a monster.
If she so much as twitches, don't. With me. Do what I say when I say it. You got any advice on the best way west?
Yeah, go east. You've come this far, then you know what's out there.
You're not gonna scare us.
Scared him?
Than any of us could have ever imagined.
Be careful who you put your faith in.
You might not be her father, but you're someone's.
You trust me?
They're threatening our planet. No, not Avatar again.
yeah, sorry, I cued the wrong trailer there. No, I think first things first, I think as far as trailers go, and obviously the whole point of it is to get you hyped, and as I've said, I am the hype man. I think this looks fucking incredible. And I know that Gareth will like the use of Take On Me.
Well, do you know what is bizarre is for ages, every time I go onto YouTube, the algorithm keeps recommending a video of Aha playing Take On Me live for some reason. I reckon maybe
it knows you too well.
I reckon
well.
Maybe it was getting me ready for this. But yeah, I love that, like a slowed down version of a classic 80s pop tune.
Yeah.
You're not a fan. Of course you're not.
No,
Here he comes.
No, but I love the song.
I hate it.
I'm getting so fucking bored of, like, and Marvel do it quite a lot as well, where it's like someone will take an 80s classic and just turn it into some new, and typically it is just slowing it down. Mm. And it's like, what's
I'm thinking of like Jordan Peele's films.
Oh,
his trailers
my
always
word,
do,
man. Like, but I mean,
he loves that. What's,
there's, I think in the new Ant-Man they do it. They clearly do it for like the Thor series, and I don't mind with Guardians because that's a running theme that he's obviously got his cassette from when he was a kid. So I'm just getting a little bit bored of it, to be honest.
Yeah, but like, it means something here, John. It's, you know, take on me. Yeah. Meaning behind that.
Ellie is saying to Joel, take on me as this burden.
Take me on as your burden.
No, but there is actually, and this is not necessarily a spoiler, but there is a beautiful moment in The Last of Us Part 2 that involves this song. So it's got a little bit of a through line with the series anyway, for fans of the series.
No, I'll just play the normal version then.
Too happy. And it's too happy because when you watch this trailer, if you've not played The Last of Us or whatever, you are getting serious like Cormac McCarthy's The Road vibes from this show.
Underrated film.
Fucking love that film, bro. Like, it is so depressing.
So depressing.
But I really like that film. Viggo Mortensen is incredible in that film. And the thing about that, and it's quite interesting, is that like that book and that film is just depressing.
Mm.
It's surviving for surviving's sake. Yeah. And in this trailer, it's like they ask the question, like, what is the point of surviving? And he's, you know, Joel says, you know, for family. Ellie said, she says, you know, I'm not family. No, you're cut
seen
your cargo.
It
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's some stuff.
So it's interesting. It's the way I'd describe, you know, this sort of story is like it is like The Road, but it's got so much more heart and so many more moments of levity in there and moments of hope that you just don't get in The Road. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys, I mean, Gaz, you'll notice this more, but like, it looks like
the game
that it looks like the game. It looks like there are so many moments that have literally just been translated from the game here that I'm quite shocked actually at how many set pieces and, scenes and environments, and even lines of dialogue where I was like, fucking hell, is this exactly like the game? And then I've gone through and like looked at it.
I think you could be cynical about that kind of thing and be like, well, what's the point? Like, this game told this story, it's done. But I can't help but be excited by it, like seeing this thing that I really enjoyed being taken into medium. I like that. I'm not complaining about that for sure.
And do you know what's amazing about it? Like, you know how I talked about, like, you watched me play the video game and then I was like, you know, I was saying to you, like, I want to watch you play Last of Us Part 2. I'm genuinely excited.
In
your knickers. Remember in your knickers, yeah. I'm genuinely excited for people who don't play video games to experience this story.
Mm.
Because I think it's such a good story that it's a shame that until this point there are, if you think like the Game of Thrones audience, it's absolutely massive. There's that whole audience, and you know, gamers are getting, you know, there's more of them every fucking day. Like, I'm just saying that it's not something that, like, my mum, she will fucking love this show.
She's not
playing Last of Us on PS5. You know what I mean?
No, she's still got
Alex,
PS4.
Alex, you played this fucking game? Have you played this fucking game yet? That's what she's from East London, listeners. That's what she sounds like. It's fucking brutal, Alex. They're fucking shiving people in the head and that is disgusting. Yeah, that we're not going to have that conversation. But we will have it, you know, in the new year, is she'll call me up going, have you seen that new Last of Us show on telly? It's fucking hell, Alex. You'll love
it's
that
shit.
Show. You will. That's what she'll say.
You know any good podcasts covering it, Alex? Because I can't find any.
Yeah, fucking hell, imagine that. She started listening to podcasts as well.
Hello, Joy.
No, but it looks like they're translating the game pretty much in its the first game in its entirety. That's the way it looks to me in this trailer. And I also saw scenes from the DLC story called Left Behind, which is actually a beautiful. Oh no!
It's not based on the film, is it?
No, not the film.
But if anyone has seen the film, and
is that a worst? It of Netflix is a worst of podcast Netflix. You guys
yes.
did.
Yes,
Nick yeah. Cage. So the boys do a worst of Netflix next Netflix series where they trawl the depths of Netflix to find the worst content on there. And one of the films they covered was called Left Behind, starring Nicolas Cage, about some sort of was it an apocalypse or
rapture?
That was it. Yeah, absolute
codswallop,
fucking trash. Anyway, codswallop. The DLC Left Behind is beautiful and fits seamlessly into the narrative of the first game, and it looks like they're basically just adapting the whole of the first game.
It
looks like there's going to be a lot of flashback stuff in there.
So you think season one will just be the first game?
I think so. I think it's going to be 10 episodes, and then I imagine you could get it all done in 10 episodes. My only worry is then, John, is we're going to have a bit of a Watchmen situation, which is like if this show, and if we love this show, which I'm very confident we will, you know, Watchmen was such a fantastic show that we enjoyed covering, and then it was gone. You know what I mean? Mm. And if Last of Us does adapt the first game in one season, feasibly it could do the second game in the second season, and that's it.
That's all right, though.
You know what I mean?
But that's
I'm
better.
Sort of
that's, yeah. And that it,
don't
yeah
yeah
I, yeah.
Don't try and stretch it out. If they try and turn the first game into two seasons of yeah. 10 episodes each, nah, that's yeah. silly. You'd
imagine
rather
if they
have
did,
it short, sharp, and sweet. That's the saying.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the saying. I kind of wish that Westworld had been a one season and done.
One and done.
Yeah.
One and done. Yeah, fuck me. Remember how good season one of Westworld was?
So good.
Oof. Boy, howdy.
Five bloobs.
Boy, howdy. That is what they used to say.
Yeah, yeah.
In Westworld, yeah.
Boy, howdy.
That boy's eating a book. Yeah.
All right, so
let's
random.
Wrap this up.
Anyone who's tuning in for the first time is like, "What the fuck are these guys talking about?" Literally, I was just thinking about it. I was like, "Obviously, we've got a lot of listeners, so they know what's going on." But the new listeners, I'm sorry, this is the
do they
just the chin
you eating a book?
Just slag us off.
This is the first time we've spoken about it.
Nah, they know I love eating books, so. So the showrunners have said that they will stray from the source material in some ways. Do you think there'll be any major deviations, or do you think they're going to sort of
happy endings?
Because I don't
all
think
round.
They can. Oh, could you imagine? It's kind of what we want George to do with Game of Thrones. Can he just change the ending, please? That'd be really nice. By the way, my Game of Thrones. I was telling this to Gareth, John. On season 8 episode 5 on my rewatch of Game of Thrones, and fuck me, by the end it's a fucking car crash again. Sorry to digress. So brutal.
Oh bloody well.
What do you guys reckon to the cinematography here in this trailer, like the way in which they're showing the world, like this, the environments that have all been taken over by nature again, and
So
what do you reckon to it?
Forgive my ignorance, I forget, but how much time is supposed to have passed from
20 years, give or take? Was it
16
years?
Yeah,
20, I think it's 20 years.
Is it that long?
Yeah, it's long. So you see the initial outbreak, obviously no spoilers, we won't talk about spoilers in this podcast, but I imagine we're going to see that through flashbacks, because I could see that being quite powerful, you know, Lost style,
yep.
if you will.
Mm.
I can see that really working. And yeah, Joel's story sort of picks up 20 years into the after the start of the infection. So all these cities and safe zones have been overtaken by nature again, you know, the foliage and sort of stuff you really like, Gareth, like that sort of
foliage,
you know, Gaz loves like buildings that have gardens on them. I mean
it's, you know, vertical gardens, very sustainable for a start. Also I love like urban exploration and abandoned buildings and stuff, so big fan of that. I came across one yesterday, actually. Did a little bike ride. I came across my own little Last of Us scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, abandoned warehouse that had...
Yeah.
All the crackheads were hanging out there.
Jesus.
But, yes. No, I do love that. Do you know, I have a little fear, just because it's the thing that keeps coming up in TV shows at the moment, and I hope they don't do this, is have scenes that are too dark. And not like in a metaphorical sense, but literally dark. Yeah.
Literally can't see anything.
The lighting.
Yeah. The lighting. It just keeps happening, doesn't it? It's fucking frustrating.
Only with Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, we obviously had some issues there, obviously. But I agree. There's going to be a lot
of Stranger Things very as well. Lit. I know it's the upside down, but it's like, come on.
Mm. This is going to be... I always thought when they adapt this... game into a show, I was like, oh, I think they're going to really struggle with getting the clickers and the infected right. Yeah. Mm. And the clickers look terrifying, man. I mean, I think this is actually going to be quite a scary show, especially for people that that haven't played the game. Because.
Oh, really? I might not watch
these. Them. These infected humans, you know, they're not zombies, they're like infected humans with this fungal disease. They're fucking terrifying. Like stalkers, clickers, like playing those sequences in the game is truly like heart-pounding stuff. What did you reckon to the look of the clickers and the bloater at the end there, John?
Mm.
What do you reckon to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they look good. It'd be interesting to see. Because obviously in The Walking Dead, I mean, I love zombie films and TV series. But Walking Dead, obviously, they fucked it all up after about season 6 or whatever. But
they fucked it.
They did, proper. It'd be interesting to see how it works with the idea of... Because it is very video gamey to have different types of zombie. Like, oh, this one does this one does that. So it'd be interesting to see what that is like in a real world, like, serious TV show. And I wonder whether or not they will refer to them as such, clickers. And
yeah, and I think...
Or whether Joel's quick, press triangle, then circle.
I'm waiting for the bit where he, like, runs into the wall. Triangle. Does, like, that weird run, and he sort of bumps and then just spins. That'd be hilarious.
Keeps running.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Little Easter egg.
The only show that's come out recently that does what you said, which is, like, gamify the enemy, which is, like, you know, we've got all these different types, is, like, that Resident Evil show that came out. And fuck me, that was cheesy as hell. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but I think, like you said, this is the first sort of zombie thing. I say zombie because it's not zombies, it's infected humans, whatever. But it's the first one of these films or shows or whatever that is serious. Like, it seems so serious. Like The Walking Dead, just by the end of it, although it's dark and there's all these things going on, it was like a soap opera, man.
Yeah.
It was just people just going through the motions, whereas this is like you're going to be fully invested in these characters, you know? To the point of like heartbreak.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I hope it's not too gamified, like you said, but this is the one game
that I've
played that is more of the story is so good, it's so powerful that it just the gameplay just sort of, even though the gameplay I find actually really good, I mean the first game's got a few criticisms for that, but I find the story so good that the gameplay just fades into the distance and I'm literally playing the game to get to the next story beat, whereas some games you play them for the gameplay, you play this for the story. So I'm really excited to see that. I mean, what, any other hopes and fears for you boys before we wrap it up for the show?
Chernobyl was amazing, but you're not exactly rushing back to watch it again. It'll be interesting to see how, like, what the balance is in this show between, like, yeah, it's brilliant, but fucking hell, I'm never watching that again. A bit like The Road. You kind of want it to be somewhere in the middle where it's got rewatch value, I would say. But look, it's HBO, Pedro Pascal, like, it should be brilliant. And I don't get the feeling that a lot of projects like this, you'll get a certain demographic, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't seen it, where people kind of want it to fail because they don't want it to be made. I don't get the sense for that is the case with this. So,
It seems to me that for once, which is quite a, you're right, John, it's quite a weird situation. Usually you've got the internet who splits into two factions, to quote Last of Us, the factions, two factions who, one will be like, you know, fucking all for it, and the other will be like saying hate crimes on the internet against it or something. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, I can't be doing with this. Like, Lord of the Rings had it, House of the Dragon had it. Like, it just, it seems that for once everyone is kind of pulling in the same direction on this, which is nice. I'm really hoping that the community for this game is really positive. Well, I know that there's a lot of, I'm just going to say this now, there was a lot of horrible things on the internet about Last of Us Part 2, especially with the leaks, but also to do with certain characters and their orientations and whatnot. And it was not nice to see. So I hope that the drama, the TV show, has a more positive reaction from everyone, you know?
Mm. Yes. Okay, well, maybe I'll end on the hope that HBO nail this, and then we get to see some more like video game adaptations, because I think the way in which video games are created now, like the work that's put into them, that it's kind of like when TV suddenly that long format, like, just made for like the characters in TV are far better than the ones in films, and in video games, because you get to play as these characters, you grow massively attached to them, more so than you would in a TV series or a film. So it would be interesting to see, if this is a success, how many more would we see. Like, for me, I know you boys weren't necessarily massive fans of it, but, you know, Red Dead Redemption, I'd be massively keen to see that as a TV series.
I'd be on
board. It's called Westworld. It was all right for a bit.
No.
It's Westworld season 3, actually, guys. It was the shit one.
But it will be interesting to see how well received it is. Bearing in mind that it is also another zombie thing. There are so many at the moment.
Yeah. I agree.
I know it's not about that, them.
Yeah.
It's about...
No, you are right, because that will be a big thing for a lot of people. Like, oh, another like zombie-type show. And once again, I keep saying it's not a zombie show. But I think that if people just give this a chance, they'll see that all of that is just bells and whistles around, you know, this fantastic...
Very human story.
...journey that is... The human story in this
who's the real monster, yeah?
Monsters over there.
Definitely that one.
Definitely
there.
That thing. Yeah. And that guy eating the books, he's weird. he looks... He's put him down.
Ironically, spineless. Right? Yeah?
Good, that. It's good from you.
Yeah.
Gaz, any hopes and fears?
No, I mean, John stole mine, and he went with two. So that's annoying. Selfish in a way.
Oh, hopes and fears.
Well, I just want to echo or synthesize what you've both said so far, which is basically
Ooh.
Video game translations have obviously had a pretty shambolic track record. And I think like part of that is the fan base. Like video game fan bases are ridiculous, like in terms of their possessiveness of the media and, you know, how they see things. And maybe it's what you mentioned, John. Maybe it's the fact that like you do play as these characters, you feel like you are this character and you have a sense yeah. of who they are or what they should be. And so when you Woo-hoo! Get somebody...
It's a me.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, fuck it.
But, you know, this is a chance, I think, for a game, even though it's kind of like an award-winning game and it's obviously held in really high regard, I still think it's like a fairly niche game. I don't think like mainstream gamers are like, oh yeah, The Last yeah. of Us. And I think that's helpful in a way, in that this is HBO. It's going to get audiences in. And I think a lot of that audience won't have a clue what this is about, to be honest. And that could work in its favor as well. So I am really hopeful. I'm going to say this is a little bit hype man-esque, but I feel like this could be the best to the small or large screen conversion of a video game that has ever existed.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that's particularly high bar, but it obviously sounds like quite a drastic statement.
The only thing that could rival it is Castlevania, like I said. Like, that was awesome.
Tree 4.
But I really think... I think this is... Tree 4. I think this has the potential to be the best video game adaptation, hands down. And everything I've seen so far looks incredible. So, of course, how are we going to cover this show, guys? We are going to do our new format, which was trialed with House of the Dragon and was hugely successful. So we're going to do it again, which is that we will have an instant reaction pod as soon as the episode is aired. We will come to you with our unsullied thoughts and let you know what we thought of the episode. And then a few days later, the three of us will convene together and have a deep dive on each episode with a section dedicated to any spoilers towards the game, Easter eggs, references, and of course, just overall story analysis. So
sounds great.
Buckle in, guys. Sounds amazing. Thanks, boys. But yeah, thanks for joining us. If you could do us a massive favor, if you are one of our listeners who is already subscribed to Fan Critical or one of our other channels, could you please search The Cast of Us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. If you could subscribe to that podcast, that'd be amazing. Throw us a review, throw us a like, whatever that system uses. Just like it, review it, subscribe to The Cast of Us on any podcast app, platform, wherever you find them, basically. I want to thank my fellow survivors, Gareth.
Thanks, mate.
And John.
Thanks.
Yeah, nice. As I said, we, you know, nice balance here at this podcast, as you heard in that. I'm very excited. Gaz is actually pretty excited. And John is very excited, even though he just sounds like he's not excited. So actually,
no, I am very, very excited.
Yeah. There you go. He just sounds miserable, so don't judge him on that.
Can you calm down?
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go finish chomping on these books, and I'll catch you all later.
Catch you later, Bill and Ted.
And survive, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.